don't know how much longer we're going to be dealing with Elijah, but personally, I've kind of enjoyed all the back and forth and kind of bouncing around a little bit. To me, it's kind of kept it a little fresh. So I hope everybody's been able to enjoy it as well. Today we're in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1. And if you're able to, you please stand. Excuse me. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria." Now Elijah has been sent here to go show himself to Ahab, but in the process, Elijah found some things here back in Samaria, and that's what we want to bring our sermon on this evening, is what Elijah found. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we do thank you, Lord, once again for all the blessings you bestowed upon us. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. We thank you, Lord, for answering these prayer requests, Lord. We know that we've been told to pray without ceasing, but that's not because you need refreshing, that you need a reminder of these prayer requests. It's a matter that we're putting our faith in you. We're asking you, Father, please, to do that. So that we can hopefully one day ourselves become people just like Elijah here, faithful. We certainly need you in every aspect of our lives, Father. We pray, Lord, for your blessings upon the sermon. Help me, Lord, please, to present it the way you'd have me to. Guide these lips of clay, Father, please. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So what Elijah found. Now, a little over 3 years prior, Elijah had went to King Ahab and told him, says, you've been a very naughty boy. And I'm telling you right now, there ain't going to be no more rain here in the land of Samaria until I say so. End of subject. Now, Elijah was operating on God's timetable. Not on his own, not on King Ahab's, but on God's timetable. He wasn't concerned about what all was going to take place. He knew that God would send him when it was time to call for the rain again. He's gone down by the brook. He's gone up there to Zarephath. And now the Lord's told him it's time to go back into the land. And so the prophet is back here in the land of Israel here. And he's come face to face with a few things. I imagine, for the most part, he expected to find. Because, quite frankly, he knew the spiritual condition of the people before he called for the drought. And, come on, let's face facts here. The human condition being what it is, yeah, most likely they're not going to have gotten better themselves during this time. Usually, you know, push comes to shove, people like to start shoving more than anything else. And as a result, yeah, things are going on here that people just don't necessarily want to see. And even ourselves, if we'd be willing to take and be honest with ourselves and look around, we could see some of what's going on here in God's Word happening in our own local assemblies across the land. We could see that there definitely is a drought that is taking place spiritually here. And it is causing different issues to rise to the surface. It's not a matter that it created the issues. It's a matter of it exposing said issues. How we choose to respond to them depends upon what we're seeing, though. Because a lot of people, they got the blinders, you know, blinders on the horse are on the side so the horse can't see the side. They put the blinders right there in front of their eyes so they just can't see. I can't see it. There's no problems. I can't see it. There's nothing for me to worry about. I can't see it. There's nothing for me to do. And they're missing out. But when the blinders are removed and we're able to look around and see, we can find some things going on in our own churches, in our own lives. Number one, we see that there is a famine that has taken place here. Verse number two says, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Now, obviously, there's a famine because there's been no rain, no dew, no water. Any water they've got, the rivers have dried up, the lakes are drying up. They're having to import water the best they can. You need the water in order to have crops. You need the water in order to have grass for the herds to feed off of. But because you ain't got the water, you ain't got food being grown. And when you ain't got food being grown, your tummies are starting to... It's a very awkward diet, but you start to lose some weight. You ain't got nothing where you can just, you know, snack. You can eat three square meals a day, whatnot there. It ain't there no more. And the problem with so many of our churches nowadays, like it was back here, this famine may have been taking place in a physical sense, but the famine has been raging for years spiritually. And so many of our churches are in a famine spiritually and been there for years. And it's not just a matter of, oh, this just happened to come along when this person left and this family moved away and whatnot. No, this is something that's been taking place for years because we've been denying ourselves the water of God's Word. So often we're sitting here relying upon one or two people to be carrying the water for us, to be bringing in it. And you know what happens when they get tired? They need someone to help them along. But we can't rely on one or two people. We are all called to be servants. I heard a fellow preach a sermon a few years back there out of John chapter number 2. Will you be a water boy? The servants there, they had to draw the water out and bring it to the governor of the marriage supper there. Give him the water. Jesus had turned that water into wine. And the governor said, this is the best stuff I've ever had. Why? Because someone was faithful, church. Someone was willing to do what the little bit that they were told to do, and they ran with it. But so many aren't running with it. So many are just letting themselves be in a famine. And it's like, well, this is my lot in life and I'll just suffer through it. You don't have to suffer through it. You make yourself suffer through it. God's not that way where He's wanting to deny us His Word, where He's wanting to deny us the ability to do anything for Him. He's wanting us to do it. But we're the ones causing our own famine. Well, how do we make some changes? Well, we need to start finding some fellow servants. Skip down to verse number 7. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he said, answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Skip down to verse 13. Obadiah is talking here. He says, was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Here is Elijah. Come back into the land. Meets up with Obadiah. Obadiah is a man of God. Obadiah is doing what he can. Yeah, he's having to keep it on the down low. He's having to be a little bit on the secretive side because he doesn't want to be executed. And if he's executed, those 100 prophets are as good as dead themselves. But Obadiah is saying, I'm going to sit here and do what I can. I'm going to be able to siphon off enough bread and water here that the king ain't going to miss it, but I can take care of these people over here. How much can we take and start doing in our own lives, church, where it ain't going to be missed by those who think they're all high and mighty, and it's got to be us, but we're able to come over here and help out someone else? How much time can we spare from the almighty television to stop and read our Bibles for a little bit?
to stop and pray for just a little bit of time. Take, siphon it off from that television. It ain't going to matter. It ain't going to notice you one bit not watching it. How much time can we take and siphon off from having to spend time with those questionable friends who, let's face facts, we could sit there and say, I'm going to win them to the Lord all we want. We ain't doing it because we ain't witnessing to them. Get over here and try to be an encouragement to someone else. Pick up that phone. Hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in church lately. I know you've been in and out of the hospital lately. I just wanted to call and encourage you. That sort of thing. Can we be fellow servants there? These fellow servants are helping to bring the famine to an end there. He's bringing bread and water over here to help out 100 people. 100 people, that doesn't seem like much when you're talking millions. But to those 100 people, it's everything. Because they know there's a faithless wannabe over there who thinks he knows it all. Who thinks he's got it all. But he ain't nothing. Now, I think it's biblical somewhere too. I'm not sure of that nothing part. Verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. Remember, Ahab's king. That Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I've not troubled Israel. Elijah's talking to the king. But thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. You know darn well what you're supposed to be doing here, Ahab. You know that as the king you are responsible to God for the whole land of Israel here. For the town of Samaria that you are living in Jezreel and all these other places. You are responsible. You bear the responsibility to God. You know better. You know God's the one that made your daddy king. You know God's the one that made you king. And you've been snubbing it. You went and you married that woman there and she imported her prophets. She imported her religion. She has taken and done her best to slaughter all of God's people. And you think you are something else. How many churches are closing now because they got the leadership who's a bunch of faithless wannabes? How many churches are sitting dying on the vine because they got a bunch of faithless wannabes in charge? How many people are walking out those doors never to come back in because they got tired of dealing with the faithless wannabes? They're done with them. Faithless wannabes sit there and they undo the work of the fellow servants. Can I prove that? Yeah. Skip down to verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. People answered him not a word. These people ain't been feeding their faith. In all honesty here, church, they weren't feeding their faith following Jehovah God, and they weren't feeding their faith following Baal false God. Because if they had, either way, they'd have been like, yes or yes. They'd just been sitting here going with the flow. They are faltering. Because they don't know which way to go. Don't much care which way to go. Whatever the current is, whoever's in charge at the moment, I'll do this, I'll do that. And Elijah has found these people here. They can't even answer him a single word as to which way they're going to go. If they're going to follow God, if they're going to follow Baal. They ain't got an opinion. Now they might have an opinion as far as which baseball team is best, Cubs or Sox. They might have an opinion as far as who should become the next mayor of Chicago. It's going to be Daley based off his last name, in my opinion. And praise God, I don't live in Chicago no more. They got an opinion about all this religion, this politics. They got an opinion upon money matters. They got an opinion upon religion, but they ain't got no faith to follow their doctrine. Just falter. I'm here. What's next? I like this next thing that Elijah found. You know what? I like this next thing that Elijah found. Verse 27, Elijah found failure. Like failure? Yeah, I do. Verse 27. And it came to pass at noon. Now the prophets of Baal have been trying to get their sacrifice lit for a few hours now. It's noontime. It's this time of the sacrifice here. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god." Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Now, why, pray tell, am I liking this? Why am I liking this failure here? Because I want to point out to you these four words here. Number one, he says he is a god. Either he is talking. And I looked up that word talking there, and I thought, okay, you know, are we talking like a conversation here? Are we talking like a monologuing type thing? You know how in the movies, you know, the villains start monologuing and the good guy's able to beat him then? It ain't that. It's worse than that. It's babbling. It'd be like if we took a baby and brought that baby in here and the baby just started going, goo goo ga ga goo goo ga ga ga. That's babbling. Elijah just told them their God is babbling like a baby. Baby ain't educated. Baby can't take care of itself. Baby can't feed itself. Baby can't get up and walk. Baby can't even talk correctly. Baby's just babbling. Then he says, or he is pursuing. And we're going to be as delicate with this one as we can. You look up that word pursuing, and it means to withdraw to a private place. It also means draws. To put it politely, it means he is relieving himself. Using the bathroom. He's a god. He's got to go potty. What sort of a god has to do that? What sort of a god would have such human issues? Not a very good god, that's for sure. You know, Elijah goes on, he says, or he is in a journey. Journey, I looked up that one. Very interesting word. It means distance. So in other words, Elijah's telling him, hey, maybe your God is babbling like a baby. Maybe he's in the toilet. Or, you know what? Maybe he just has walked so far away from you, he can't hear you no more. It's like that guy who goes and he gets this job and he's painting lines down the highway. And the first day, he does 5 miles. Second day, he only does 2 miles. The next day, he does a quarter of a mile. His boss finally asks him, what in the world is wrong? You did so great. You did 5 miles, then dropped the 2. Now it's a quarter of a mile. What's your problem? And the guy says, well, boss, I keep getting further away from the paint can. He's got the distance to cover. Didn't think to bring the paint can with him. He just keeps going back where the paint can is. Maybe that's what your God Balaam is doing here. He's another failure, is what Elijah's saying. Or, peradventure, he's sleeping and must be awake. I looked up that word sleeping. Eddie, it means sleepy. Amen, hallelujah, for sleep. Well, what sort of a God is that who needs to take him a nap? He's tired. He's got to rest his eyes. He's got to check his eyelids for holes. Okay, this is going to be an in-depth study for the next 8 hours while I look to make sure my eyelids ain't got no leaks in them or nothing like that, man. Your God ain't got no time for you. He's busy resting for himself. That's a failure of a God there. Of course, the people have failed too. Elijah found in verse number 30 a forsaken altar. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Those last few words there, that was broken down, means destroyed. At first, it got neglected. Well, we'll use it today, but you know, we'll get to it again, you know, in a day or two. And what do you mean? It's been a week since we were last over there. Oh, okay, well, yeah, okay, we can hit the altar today. And oh, what do you mean? We drove past it already. Well, we'll get to it next time. Next time comes to a month turns into a year. Next thing you know, it's been 10 years. They ain't darkened the doors of the church. Mm-hmm. Altar's been forsaken. After a while, the broken down, destroyed altar becomes deliberate. I don't need it. I don't want it. You know what? I can take that wood there and I can repurpose that wood for other things. What is that? Haggai chapter 1, I think it is. Let me turn over there real quick. Just thought of that. Zechariah. Haggai chapter number 1. Yeah, here it is. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 4. Now this is taking place after the exile has ended and the people have been told to rebuild the temple. Verse number 3 of Haggai chapter 1. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now God had told them, rebuild the temple. The word sealed there is talking about a particular wood. You can kind of think of paneling. Okay, this wood has been dedicated and made very specifically to be used to put up in the house of the Lord. In the temple. And instead what they were doing is they were repurposing it and taking it to build their own houses. Oh, their house might be much smaller, but at least they would have a house. At least they were going to have a roof over their head. And well, we've got a framework for a temple that's good enough because I need to be taken care of first and foremost. I need to have my needs met. I need to be able to do as I need to do. God understands. I must have a roof over my head. Walls that are in good shape so that I can protect my family and keep them nice and warm and snugly at night. The commandment was to build the temple. The commandment was to use this wood, this specifically made wood for the temple. And they said, no, I'm going to repurpose it. Some people, I can just imagine, they said, Miss Maudie, it's been 3 years since we've had rain, but I want to cook me some hot dogs. But I don't want to start a great big fire. I'll just take the stones that made up this old altar here, and I'll pull them off of there, and I'll build me a nice little ring so I can start a fire in the middle of that rain. I don't have to worry about the fire spreading. We ain't used that altar in years anyway, so we don't need it. And I'll be able to cook my hot dogs here and not have to worry about nothing. That Bible makes a pretty good paperweight. I can just
do what I want. I'll be honest with you, during that 10 years when I was away from the Lord, at one point I didn't have a clue where my Bible was. Didn't know. Hadn't seen it in the longest time. Accidentally stumbled upon it while I was moving something else around. It's like, hey, that's my Bible. But that's something I found. Not that I found my Bible, but I found that I had lost it. How often is that happening when we are forsaking the altar of the Lord? But Elijah put that altar back together. And he found that when he started putting the altar back together, when he started bringing the people back to their God, he found that the fire was now flowing. Verse number 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in that trench that we talked about last time. Let me tell you about these things that the fire fell on. As it was flowing down here, that fire consumed the sacrifice. The sacrifice is what God wants. That's very important. That's what the fire came for, was what God wants. But it also came for the wood and the stones. The wood and the stones represent false gods and excuses. Our churches need the fire to start falling on some of that stuff now. If we're going to start seeing some growth, if we're going to start seeing our churches grow, if we're going to start seeing our spiritual lives begin to grow, we need to get God's fire to come down and start consuming this stuff that is wasting our time. It's drawing our attention away. It came from the dust as well. The dust represents the emptiness. That feeling of, well, I've been to church, but was I really at church type thing? Someone talked to me today, but did they really talk to me or just at me? People were in attendance, but did they really listen or were they just sitting there doing their own thing? That emptiness the fire fell for. And the fire fell for the water. They tried drowning that sacrifice, the wood, the stones, everything there. And that water represents what quenches the fire. And God says, better luck next time. That fire was flowing. It came for all. It consumed all. And the sacrifice can't be accepted unless and until all that is taken care of. But lastly, what Elijah found was the falling water. Verse number 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. Sound. He heard the water, this Maudia, before it even started to rain. Before there was even a cloud in the sky, he heard the water. That's a vision that only God gives. Sound of the abundance of rain. An abundant supply is a provision that only God can give. Back there in verse number 1. Let's head back over there real quick. The Bible says in 1 Kings 18:1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Elijah found all this stuff. in the process of finding when God was going to be sending the rain. But God wasn't going to send the rain until Elijah found all this stuff out so it can get straightened out first. Then the rain fell. Then the supply was abundant. Yeah, it was a cloud the size of a man's hand coming over. Turned into a deluge that they desperately needed. I've got just one question and a statement for you this evening. The question is this: what do you see here? 29. Statement is this: it's easy to get distracted. Focus on God through it. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. So we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. Believe, Lord, this is a sermon you'd have us to bring to your people, and I pray, Lord, that everyone here was able to get exactly what it is that they needed to hear out of this. We pray, Lord, for those who will be listening later on, that they will also be able to get what they need to. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.